AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
R&B money! We up! Tank. Jake Valentine. We are the authorities on all things R&B.
Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? My name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the R&B Money Podcast, the authority on all things R&B.
That's how you feel today?
Yes! Okay. Right. Yes! All right. Because we have a man in the building, a prolific human being, well-studied, well-versed,
yeah.
Successful,
yeah.
As well as gifted. He's a monster, and he get into the money. Ladies and gentlemen, an R&B producer, hip hop producer, what else?
Dance hall producer,
Afrobeat producer, a super producer,
yeah.
And songwriter. I think he got vocals too in the building. Harmony H Money Samuel,
what's going on?
H Money!
Hey, you actually sound like the drop.
I think he sampled me. I got to talk to him about this. Remember how
the publishing
people fall out about this kind of stuff. First of all, I don't like you. Let's start there. We're going to start right there. I remember the first time I heard about you. I heard these two Chris Brown songs. I said, like, who the fuck did that? Who did that? And why did he do that? Why did he do all of that? Could have left some of that shit out. Could have left some room for other people to produce more songs on the album.
Yeah.
Your songs clearly, by far, stood out on that album as something completely different and something we hadn't heard before.
Yeah.
I was upset. because I only get upset when it's some shit I wish I could have done. I wish I would have done. I listened to it and it was so much information. I said, fuck it, I just gotta find him. I can't do it. There's no way I'm gonna be able to do it. I gotta find him.
That's crazy.
You are super, super duper.
Appreciate that, bro.
Gifted. You know what I'm saying? And this is a flowers. Sure. This is a flowers pod. This is a flowers space.
Yeah, man.
So I had to get the hate out my heart first.
Well, remember when I first met you, I had the same kind of expression.
Oh, yeah, you did?
For a different reason, though. So prior to my success with Chris Brown, he was standing outside. I'd been in L.A. maybe like a month, and he was standing outside the Roxy. He had just tore the Roxy down, and he was just standing outside. And I'm looking. I'm standing out there.
After
like,
he does his show.
Yeah. So I'm looking at. I'm like, why is Tank just standing out here? Like, yeah. So I'm like, yo, bro. He's like, oh, what's up, man? You good? And I was like, I don't like you.
So it was the same kind of interjection.
Same, same. Okay, all right. And he's like, what? I said, not in a bad way, but in a bad way. Sex, love, and pain, too, messed up my relationship. And he's like, what you mean? He said, my ex-girlfriend said she used to feel uncomfortable when I would play that album in the house. I said, my nigga, you've been fucking my girl this whole time.
I'm sorry.
Music could do that.
No, I'm sorry.
And I was like, I can't play that album no more.
Yeah.
I would play it every once in a while when I needed to try and get freaky.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I didn't like him for that. Because it was like, every time I would play it,
I was too down.
Yeah,
I was like right beside you. Like,
yeah, you was right
but
there.
But I was cheering you on. Get in there, Harmony. You get in there. Man. You work that. You change positions now. This is a good time. It's in between songs. Yeah, get it. I'm like the porn star announcer. That's what my music does.
The porn star announcer? Do they have one of those?
No, they don't. But that's what my music does.
Oh, this nigga gonna be, no, to be
I'm,
a porn star.
I'm gonna be
now,
real.
Man.
I'm gonna be real. Your records are the records that people I go to anyway, personally. You my homie, but.
It's about pregnancy. My music is about skin on skin relationships.
Facts.
You understand what I'm saying? If you are putting anything between you and that other body, you are disrespecting the music. Completely just skin on skin. Whatever, roll the dice when my music come on. Okay?
This podcast is not brought to you by whatever condom you want to add.
What are those?
No. Listen, I've. Condom brands. I'll promote you, okay?
I don't know about this guy. I will not. You will not suffocate me.
No, what?
People gotta breathe. He should be breathing.
Man, it's an honor to be here, yeah. Man.
Thank you. Harmony's here.
Harmony's here, ladies and gentlemen. Harmony! H-Money!
No, listen, it's an honor and a blessing. I've known you both.
A long time.
A decade.
Long time.
Plus.
Yeah. Easy. Yeah. Easy.
And sure. I will say some of the most influential mentoring. You both mentored me in different ways. We used to share studio grounds.
Space.
We would right be at each other's room all the time.
Yep.
I think certain relationships are for a season, and in certain relationships, they last forever, whether we talk every day or we don't talk at all.
Yeah,
it's like where we left off.
It's like we never left. Yep. And you know, I've learned so much from your careers and your relationship, because that's another thing. Y'all been tight friends, brothers, business partners. It's hard to find people who can stick together through it all. You know what I'm saying? And I think that that's been a big influence on me, man. And both of y'all. He made a play in my life that to this day I was able to sell a million records independently because that's this man incredible. Made a phone call.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which was Major's Why I Love You. And I'll always appreciate you for that.
Absolutely. Shout out to Major.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
shout out,
what I made.
Shout out to a million.
Shout out to
of anything.
Of anything. Yeah. And that's hard.
Especially with R&B.
Listen, R&B and a person no one knew.
Absolutely.
For you to have a platinum record with a new artist in R&B music.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Bro.
Amazing. But
you made that call. He came to the studio.
That record was the first listen. I couldn't leave the studio without being some part of something. You know what I mean?
You knew.
Like,
and
yeah,
I remember he said, what you want to do? He's like, how can I help you? I said, I've been to every record executive. They don't want it. They don't want him.
They don't hear it.
They love the record, just didn't want him. You know what I mean? And I was like, there's this guy called Ghazi. He was like, man, that's my boy.
Hold my beer. He don't drink beer. Oh, my beer.
Called him for
my
juice. Oh, my juice.
Oh, my juice.
Shout out to Juice. Shout out to Juice Brand.
We shouting out to everybody. No. Oh, yeah. Oh, mine. Yeah. Yes. Shout out. Hey, today is promo day. I have a juice bar, man. It's called Urban Juice.
Shout out to Urban Juice. Congratulations, brother.
There's a juice called the Valentine.
Yeah, it's the one. It is the one. Yeah. I mean, if you want to get you,
so I guess nice everybody is just
so back to hold my juice.
Yeah,
hold
my back juice. To hold my
he
juice.
Really.
He really did.
When I say the boy got his own juice.
He got his own juice.
Hold on, man. You know. The flowers was gonna give you flowers. Gonna keep giving you flowers. I heard there were gifts for us. You know, what I'm saying? I heard there were flowers, some form of a flower.
I think it's disrespectful to come into the homes of people I look up to without gifts, and so just like you got your own juice bar, you know, God bless me to invest in some things, and now we own a tequila called Vuelo. Vuelo, Vuelo. I partnered up with them about 3 years ago. We've been working on this brand for a few years, and now we killing it. We killing it. We just won one of the biggest competitions in California.
Nice.
And I brought Reposado, Anna, and Yeho for you.
Yeah.
We'll
give it to
Yeho. Okay. No, check out the brand.
I want to switch. Just switch that.
Why should we switch? Because one is light skinned and one is.
I don't want to say it on.
I'm gonna give him the dark skin one.
He's not dark skin, bro.
I have more hominid complexion than you. Give it up. Let me just look at it.
Yo, I got you. So thank you guys for having me on this. You know what I'm saying? Go guys, go check out the Vuelo brand.
I don't know. Does that help?
That's a real glass.
I'm gonna.
These phony tequilas. Yeah. It's a real tequila.
We're gonna crack.
Crack that over. Listen, crack that one. Crack the black one.
Tank is the connoisseur, so I'm.
Yeah, he gonna know.
Whatever
gonna
he owe, I'm rolling with y'all.
Tell me right
I'm
now.
Rolling with y'all.
That's what we drinking.
Yeah, yeah. No, but
that's what we drinking.
But back to our homie, man. Back to Major.
Yeah.
Back to Major and you believing.
Yeah.
In that. Yeah. You know what I mean? In his project and believing in him as an artist and fighting for him.
Yeah.
I mean, because that just doesn't happen all the time in this industry where, you know, we get to a point, right, where we all have to deal with a lot of no's.
Yes, sir.
But then we get to a level in this game where it's more yes than no.
Yeah.
This guy's crazy. Where it's more yes than no. So once you get to that level, a lot of executives and producers walk away from things that they get told no on.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to be associated with the no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes, you want to be that guy that can walk anything through.
Yes, sir.
That anybody, you know, whatever you bring through, they rolling with.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So what was the motivation to keep you going with an artist that you were being told no about?
Firstly, I'm a builder.
Okay.
Like, as a creative, everything I own, I've built. You know what I mean? I built my studio. I build beats.
You did that.
I build records.
You did that.
And because I'm a builder, that means I have to find things that need building. Right? I have to find artists that need help being built.
You know your DMs is about to go crazy.
Build me.
Build me up, Lord.
Missing pieces.
Yeah. And so, but that's always been my thing. You know what I mean?
I mean, your company.
BOE.
Are you drinking?
Build on our empire.
Are you drinking with us?
For sure, baby.
There's a cup for you.
Come on. You.
Let me get on this. No. You know what I mean? Shout out to this beautiful glass. Lord have mercy. Yeah. I'm going to put some ice in that.
Taking it.
You know what I mean? Nice, yes. Yes, sir. And this is a nice podcast. They're gonna be giving you nice glasses.
You know, we try to look out for our people, man.
And vibe R&B. Is so beautiful. It's R&B.
R&B.
Say that again. It's R&B.
It's R&B.
Everything R&B is like on a different level.
I'm not doing this at you. I'm just in your direction.
No, I got you, bro.
It's R&B.
It's R&B, and that's what got me into R&B. You know what I mean? Just the flyness of it all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're the coolest genre.
Yeah, it is the coolest genre.
Yeah. World,
other people might be they might be more shiny.
To the point where hip hop has now turned R&B, but that's a conversation for later.
Yeah, no,
we can talk about all of it. You're versed in all of it. You do all of it.
That's a conversation for later. But with Major, back to Major. Oof, when okay. I met him.
All right. Yes, yeah. Look, got some on it. Yeah. Hey, alien.
Yeah. Hey, alien. Give it to me.
Come on, connoisseur.
Give it to me.
Come
baby.
On, connoisseur.
Come on.
What you talking about?
It's R&B. It's what we do. Yeah. I got extra one for you in the car. I got you. I got an extra one in the car for you. I got you.
Ooh. Hold on, one more.
And it's vuelo.
Vuelo.
Look at me learning Spanish.
That's not even the big one.
As Mexican as I look.
The extra añejo.
My brother.
Yes, sir.
My brother.
Yes, sir.
This is exceptional tequila. Thank you.
We appreciate it. Shout out to my boy Brevin. He's the brains behind
Come
it.
Come on, Brevin.
This is Brevin. Exceptional.
Yes, sir.
Tequila.
Yes, sir.
This stands in line. This sits at the table with the tequilas.
With the ones.
That I drink.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
And listen, it's not a big table.
I don't know shit about tequila, but I'm drinking. It tastes good to me.
It's a small table.
It's not that big.
Of only three tequilas.
Not that big.
Yours is number three.
It's up there, bro. It's up there. That's a big statement.
Yours is up there with a $500 tequila.
Yes, sir.
That only sits about this big.
Yes, sir. I know exactly the one you're talking about.
Yeah, we're not shouting. I don't know those.
Those people.
I'm not shouting. I ain't shouting.
I know him.
Yeah.
Let's get it, bro. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Cheers, my brother.
Y'all got endorsement money? Like, what are we doing? Yeah. You need brand ambassadors?
Of course we do. That's why I brought the bottle over so we can have that conversation after the podcast.
Whoa. I like it.
Yes, sir.
I like it. Back to the music.
Anyway, Major, you know. I one of the things about so me and Tank, we all three of us come from the church background, so we understand how.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
You give me church vibes.
It's a different kind of church. It's tabernacle.
That's right.
It's not church.
I don't even know what that means, but
yeah. He give me God vibes.
It's the street.
I believe in God. Yeah.
He give me God vibes. I believe in God. Either way, there's a thing that works with God, faith. And what you believe in, right? Mm-hmm. When you're working. And so when I met Major, I had no desire to sign him as an artist because I was playing at one church. I was the music director there. And Major was on a worship team, but he would sing his butt off.
Mm-hmm.
And things sing and I would just see people like emotional. And I was just like, I remember one day playing the piano thinking, this can't be where it ends for him on a church stage. There's more to this.
Got to be more to it.
And God was like, yeah, you're going to help him get there.
Hmm.
And I was like, I that wasn't me requesting. I was just saying, like, I see the vision.
I was just letting you know. I heard you know that I see it. Yeah.
And so, and then God was like, nah, it's on you. And so he put me on that path. And then, you know, we started working together. And we got no's from everybody. I mean, it was like there was people who played games with us. There's people who, you know, was like, we'll take the songs, but it was just always something. And the worst part was I was succeeding as a music producer. So I was doing Ariana Grande. I'm working with Chris Brown.
No, don't say that yet.
Yeah.
Okay, I was working with a lot of people. And so it was weird for me that I couldn't, you know, cross him into that space. And then I realized, like, we had a problem. The problem was we needed a song that would identify him because he was new. And the one powerful thing that Major has, as we all know, is his voice.
Absolutely.
So I was like, we got to find. And a year prior to that, John Legend had just gone number one with All of Me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, we got to do something like this that highlights your voice.
That's it.
And nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Because you think he's sexy.
Huh?
Because he think he's sexy.
Sometimes. You know, he be doing that. He be giving the R&B eyes.
He be trying to highlight his sexy. Like he show up with his fajita meat showing. I'm like, my brother.
Fajita meat.
Yeah.
Hey, listen.
It's Beyond Taco.
Listen. Okay.
Paul.
When he started getting R&B money.
Yeah,
the fajita came out.
Oh, no. Yeah. He unbuttoned that extra button. Yeah, okay, now we can almost see your belly, brother.
His shirt's definitely got more expensive.
We can almost see your belly, bro.
He's like
a nice shirt, though. It's a really nice shirt.
He's like getting made.
Yeah, Taylor.
I was like, where you get that from? Man, I got that made.
Custom.
Custom.
You got the shirt. I'm trying to make my shirt. God damn, all right.
Hey, Major, you can send me a custom shirt, man. I helped. Send me a custom shirt, brother.
You should get a custom shirt. And a plaque. Custom shirt.
I got a plaque.
You got the plaque.
I got a plaque.
No, he's
got
to get a new one.
I got a plaque. They got to give me, I got the gold plaque.
You got to get the platinum plaque now.
All right, so let's do this. And I think that the major story, along with the building of your empire, is going to play a big part in this conversation. Mm-hmm. But I really want to go all the way back to the beginning.
Okay.
Right? I hate your accent. But I just want his accent. You know, you know what I could do with that accent right there?
Idris Elba. But audition for
Idris
Top Boy.
Idris Elba wouldn't have a chance in the world.
If he had a British accent, yes. I'm scared of you.
I think my goodness.
You're too confident now.
You know,
so
right
scared.
Now,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
so
yeah, yeah, yeah,
if I could just get a little bit, just nail it just a little bit.
I don't think you would even live in LA.
You don't think I would? No.
I don't know where you would live.
Honestly, I would probably live in like.
Did you say think with an F?
Yeah, that's how you say it.
Because we say think.
In British, yeah. He tired of me already. We just started.
Okay. Oh my God.
Harmony, H Money Samuels, we like to go back to the beginning.
Yes, sir.
Like where it started. Mm-hmm. What was the moment?
We also like the snack and shit.
Yeah, you can eat snacks. Just don't eat them on the mic. Ruben hates that. All right. We want to go back to the beginning where you said to yourself, oh shit, I got something.
Yeah.
Or somebody said to you,
I got something.
Boy, you got something. There's a few
moments, but born and raised in London by Nigerian parents who were strict as shit. I mean, they were so strict, bro. Like, I had bag checks in the morning. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean?
And like when I was leaving to go to school,
you
they would
your
check
books,
my bag.
You got everything.
What's in here?
What's in your bag? And if there was anything outside of what was supposed to be in there, it's my ass. Like, my dad was a disciplinarian, man. He was a strong dude. And my mama didn't play neither. So when they found out I had a musical gift, they freaked out immediately because they was like, oh, hell no. No, 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 no. You're not doing that. You go into school because we immigrants and we ain't got a pot to piss in. You finna figure this out. And they were on me. And I'm the oldest of four. And so as I got to... Y'all call it high school, we call it secondary school. I'm like 13 years old. I'm playing four or five instruments at this point. So I'm playing piano, drums, bass, keys.
So are the instruments at your
guitar.
House?
No, it's at church. It's
okay.
The only place I could touch them. Wow. So I had to learn. Now, my parents were broke, trying to figure out. My dad had 2-3 jobs. My mother was looking after the kids at home because there's, you know, just three of us. And at the time, and the only time they would allow me near the instrument is in church. Now, mind you, my school teachers was like, yo, your son is gifted.
They don't care about none of that.
He was singing. I would sing harmonies. They were like, how do you know how to do this? And I mean, I'm not even 5, 6 at this point. I'm playing drums on the table. And then I'm even playing drums in church. My parents just woke up one morning. We go to church and then there's no drummer at the drums. So it's kind of weird because like there's a whole band playing but no drums. And then they just see me go on the drums and start playing along. I became a drummer, and that's how I started playing.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season 1 or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And so I have this thing about learning by sight. And by 13 years old, I'm going to secondary school and I can play 5 instruments. And my music teacher's like, how you know I had to do that? Like, and I was like, I don't know. It's just a gift I can hear and see. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I hear it and I see it. Yeah. Like, it, or wherever it is. If I see you playing an instrument, I'm learning how you playing an instrument. You know what I'm saying? I'm downloading everything. Yeah. And once I get my hand on it, I'm going to figure it out. And once I figured out the number system, it was curtains for everybody. And you know that. Yeah. So 13 years old, it's my first year in secondary school or high school. And I walk into my music class and I'm like, I'm excited. Cause it's like, yes, what's my music teacher going to have me do? So she has this computer and it was called the Notator. You remember that?
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. Now, it's actually called Logic now. Mm-hmm. But in the 90s, it was called Notator. I'd never seen it before. It was a Notator, and they had floppy disks, mm-hmm. and she had like this, she had a Casio keyboard in front of it. And she started programming. Like, she showed me how you like, oh, you know, you can compose your own songs, compose your own music. And she started playing each instrument, you know, recording it as we do. I stood there, because I had never seen it before. I stood there in amazement for at least 30 minutes. I said, "Miss Ryan, how the hell did you do that?" She said, "You know, you select the track you want, you press record, you play the instrument." I said, "So I can be my own band?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Nigga."
I'm sure you didn't say that to her. But
no, in my head, though.
I probably would
have. But no, yeah, because I would have gone.
You would have said it out loud.
I would have definitely called Miss Ryan an egg. And I'm sure, yeah.
You know what? You'd be suspended.
Yeah.
Next school.
Bro, it was like a crackhead with a bag of coke.
Yeah.
I lost my friggin' mind. I said, okay. It went from me being there every lunchtime to being there every lunchtime and after school. Then she started giving me the key. I was in that room for 2 years straight. So I've gone from year to year. And she came in one day and it was like 8 a.m. She was like, "Why are you here so early?" I said, "I just had to get this idea out." She said, "You've been here a lot. Play me something." And I play her one of my ideas. She looked at me. She said, "You made this?" I said, "Uh-huh." And I played another one. She's like, "You made this?" She said, "Harmony, you need to really go to school for this." She said, "You may have the ability to be a great composer or producer." I was like, "Who's that? And what is that?"
Who's that?
Because I'm like, right, a composer.
So are your parents on board at this point now?
My parents were never on board until I broke.
Wow. So
my parents,
where do they
never
think you were at this point, though?
At this point, they just think I'm going to school.
They don't know you.
They don't know what I'm doing in school.
Yeah.
And because I had her, my teacher, as a ally, she would always vouch for me.
Yeah, he's here. He's here.
He's here. He's
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Because you were actually at school.
So that's all I needed, bruh. She said, "Go look up what a producer was." The first person I looked up was Quincy Jones.
I mean,
starts there.
And like I'm off to a flame, man. It became my mission. And in my brain, I mean, I lied to every person because I didn't want them to know that was what I was going to become, a music producer. And bro, I made track after track. And then I was like, I can put melody and lyrics. So I was just like, oh, I'm doing 100%ers.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm 20 years old. And I'm like, someone out the blue in my church. And, you know, I always tell people,
right,
like,
you just went from 13 to 20. Nigga.
Yeah, because, I mean, from 13 to 20.
It's like the story of Jesus. Like, he just showed up healing people. Like, where you come from?
From 13 to 20, all I could do was
create. Yeah.
Because what people don't understand about London is one of the most creative places in the world. One of the only places where I see genres being made over and over again. Do you know what I mean? Like, like in my face, like, oh, this is a new genre. This is a new genre.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Afrobeat's a new genre that we're all, you know what I mean? So for me, but it's a trap too. It was we was very trapped because there was no outlets for us.
Gotcha.
Like, the one thing you have in America is Black Americans have fought to have a voice. In the UK, we fought, but we didn't have that voice. No matter how much we tried to get one, they would shut it down. It was very systematic because it was a lot smaller too.
Mm-hmm.
And so think about how many R&B acts we had those times, how many R&B superstars we had.
I just know Craig David.
We didn't have that many.
Right.
It was very limited. And that's because we didn't have an outlet. And, and whenever
Mark Morrison, don't let me disrespect. You know
Mark
what?
Morrison,
you know
but
what?
Can, you know,
how dare you?
Turn of the Mac, nigga. The Mac.
But you know the craziest part? Not even British people didn't know he was American. Oh, he was British.
Who, Mark
for
Morrison?
The longest. Because he sounded so American.
To y'all. us, we was like,
I didn't know what he sounded like.
We just knew that this isn't regular British records.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right, right.
You understand what I mean? And, you know, I worked with even Uncle Mark, Marky B, you know, Soul to Soul. Like, mm-hmm. I've been around all of them. And we were influenced by American music heavily, but we didn't have an outlet. We didn't have an out. So all I could do was create and hold these feelings inside. And I was like, one day I'm gonna crack this code. I'm gonna figure it out how to balance between being from here and affecting the States. Because cracking America was the most important thing for any British artist, if you were Black. Cracking America, from Craig David all the way down to Sade.
Mm-hmm.
Maxi Priest, these were all British guys.
Maxi Priest. Yeah.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? Like, cracking America was important. If you cracked America.
I feel like you keep saying crackhead America.
But cracking America.
I come from
breaking
crack,
America.
I come from crackhead America. So
you say shit, crackhead.
It's fine.
And so all fine. I could do for the longest, and then I interned for years, you know what I mean, at studios, cleaning floors, laying on the floor.
In the UK?
In the UK.
Okay.
And I would watch, you know, Celine Dion's producer, Chris Neal, Marky B., so many different producers that I was like in the background, Nelly Hooper, Gwen Stefani, mm-hmm. and I would just be watching them and trying to get as much information because I learned by sight. So one day they would like, hey, you play piano, right? And I'd play a little something. Hey, you play bass, right? Or I sing something. So I was, you know what I mean? So I started kind of getting my foot in that way. And then a young guy in the church, you know, he's a little money man, you know, a little hustling. The hood was like, yo, you really be doing this music thing, huh? He's like, oh, you know, I got some bread. Like, what you need? I was like, a studio. And he gave me my first studio. It was three times smaller than this room. But that was the day I became a monster. Because now I had my own outfit. Like, I could do anything. I helped him build his career. Shout out to my man, Steven. I helped him build his little business company he was building. Supplying the hood some beats.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Supplying the hood beats. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
And shout out to Steven, the top boy.
Yeah.
He had the peas.
Steven touched.
Steven had the peas.
Yo, he hustled and made sure we kept the studio open for like 5 years.
Wow.
I never had to pay for it.
That's dope.
And, you know, I always respect him for him because that's when I learned how to become a real producer. I learned to sing, record, vocal produce, and I was watching y'all. That's what you don't understand. I had all y'all CDs in my room, in my studio room, and we'd play Sex, Love, and Pain, or we'd play Maybe I Deserve, or we'll play Rodney Jack, a lot of Rodney Jack.
Yeah,
a lot of Dark Child was played in my studio.
I heard that. Definitely
a lot of Timbaland. Shout out to Rodney because he Dark Child gave me my opportunity to. A lot of Timbaland, a lot of. I was studying, I mean, bro. And then one day, I just said, I got to get out of here because I tried, man. I was broke. You know what I mean? My girl was leaving. You know what I'm saying?
She's leaving you?
Yeah. My girl was leaving me at the time.
She's like,
I couldn't pay rent.
You ain't, you
know what
producer.
I'm saying? And she actually really believed in me. She just knew that I wasn't going to work here. You know what I mean? We just, like, bro, the most I got paid in 8 years of making music was like $3,000.
What?
In 8 years?
In 8 years, because it was such a hard hustle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so by the time I got to like my mid-20s, there's this young kid in the UK that was blowing up, and music had changed again. There was like this new genre called grime.
Yeah.
Because it had gone from garage, you know what I mean? We call it garage. And it went from garage, which was like this upbeat.
We don't call them either. We call it garage.
You say garage. We call it garage.
You said two different names that we don't call
either.
Neither
one of us could relate to. The shit is in the garage.
Shit's in the garage. So we called it garage. It changed, and, you know, it became grime. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole history that, you know, I think the UK grime scene and R&B scene and just the music scene has to explain for the world to get. But this kid called Chip. We called him Chipmunk back then. Yeah. So.
That's how I met you.
From the hood.
That's how I met you.
Yeah. We in the hood, same studio. Mm-hmm. I end up working with him and he's like, yo, man, I need you to do my album. And he just cracked the case in the UK. He was like the first, he was like 16 years old.
Yeah.
He's like, I need you to work on my album because he wanted to transition from the UK sound to a global sound. He wanted to penetrate America.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm your guy.
I'm your guy.
So we started working. I was transitioning to LA because I was taking these interesting trips. I was like getting on a plane and just coming to New York. And New York was popping at the time when it came to like industry stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Craig Kalman heard my music and was like, can you fly to LA? And I was like, yeah. He said, fly to LA tomorrow. I want you to meet another executive of mine. If he likes you, then we money. So I said, cool. So I fly to LA. I go to see that executive. And that executive he was like, get out my... Like it was like, why are you here? And I was like, damn, nigga, I just flew 6 hours.
Wait, so the the executive he wants you to meet with wasn't fucking with you. Wasn't fucking with your music, nothing.
Oh, bro. Listen, firstly, we're in a studio and you listen to my beats on headphones. That's disrespect one.
I know who this guy is. I just, even though you've never told me, I already know who the guy is.
You listen
you
to my
You can say it if you want to. This is the R&B Money podcast. All right, listen, cool.
But well, you listen to my...
okay? It's R&B.
You listen to my beats on headphones in a music studio. That was like, oh my God. And then secondly, I flew 6 hours to meet with you for 6 minutes.
6 minutes?
And say, give me these beats and I'll talk to you. You know, we'll call you or email you. And I was like, what am I supposed to do for the next 48 hours?
That is the music business.
And so I'm standing outside the studio like in tears because I'm like, firstly, I was in New York and it was like October. So it was cold as boot.
It's cold.
And now I'm in LA in winter clothes.
With the same outfit on.
In 110 degree weather. I'm confused, bro.
It's hot.
I'm crying and I'm sweating.
I'm crying and I'm sweating, Mike.
It's so hot.
And I'm broke because I'm trying to figure this out. So,
and I'm sure you want to choke that white
bro,
man.
Bro, I wanted to say everything under the sun about his nostrils, but...
About his nostrils.
But, you know, I thank God for grace. And, you know, the guy that had, you know, been around me at the time was my managing... Well, he ended up managing me after this whole situation. He was like, yo, I met with this guy and he keeps asking about you. And I was like, what's his name? He said, RJ. He said, we should meet him. He's like a big time producer. I'm like, I said, fuck that. I ain't coming all the way to LA to meet no punk ass RJ.
You didn't see this? So punk ass RJ.
Like, I said, you didn't see, like,
he's mad at everybody.
Like, I'm mad, bro. Yeah, like, you can't see this nigga just disrespect me. You didn't even say nothing.
Right. You ain't even
say
it.
You didn't say nothing. Like, I'm like, and you gonna say, I'm standing around two white people.
He let Debo take his chain.
You know what I'm saying?
No, baby D.
Baby D.
Y'all seen it jumping on me?
They don't do nothing. Just let that white man jump on me.
Oh my God.
So I was hurt. And so he kept saying, he was like, no, I really think we should go see him. And I was like, man, what's this nigga's name? He said, Rodney Jerkins.
That's who RJ was.
I said.
I'm sorry.
I said, Dark Child Rodney Jerkins. He's like, that's it. That's him. I said, nigga, do you know who that is?
Right.
You should have led with this motherfucker. Don't say no RJ.
Said, he was like, I said, you think he's what? Bro, where he at? Let's go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then as soon as I walked in, they were doing Puff had the TV show, Making a Star. It was like American Idol, but there was like and Rodney was a judge on it.
Okay.
So I'd gone over to that show, and Rodney walked out and he called me immediately. He was like, Harms. I was like, okay, you gonna change my name to Harms? I'll take it.
Yeah.
He's like, your beat caused harm. It's causing harm. And I was like, where you hear my beats? He said, yo, I was, so here's a joke. While this dude is disrespecting me in the studio, he was at Jimmy's office and my beats, I don't know how my tape got in there, was being played.
Tell them who Jimmy is, because they don't, you know, people might not
Sir
know
Jimmy Ivey.
Yeah.
So while he's having a meeting with Jimmy, he said he could hear my beats in the room next door. And he said he was knocking so hard, he was like, he's like, Jimmy, I'm just going to the bathroom, give me a second. And so he's going to the bathroom, he walks in the room, he's like, yo, whoever this little nigga is, find him and bring him to me.
Wow.
So that's how Matt got the email saying, yo, Ronnie's looking for y'all. He wants to meet with y'all. And so as soon as I met him, he was like, yeah, my name's Harmony. He was like, Harms, I'm going to call you Harms from now on. And he said, when you leaving? I said, tomorrow. He's like, no, you're not. You cancel that flight, come see me tomorrow. And the rest is history, man. He basically was like, yeah,
he took you under his wing.
Yeah, he opened that door and was like, yeah, you with me. And it's probably the biggest life-changing experience I've ever had in my life. Mind you, the next day I go to see him, he's working on The Devil Wears Prada.
Of course he is. Right. Yeah.
So I'm just like,
of course he is. Yeah. It's Rodney Jerkins.
Really? Yeah, really.
Yeah, you know what? Toast to Rodney Jerkins.
Why not?
Toast to the
and
king.
And for giving you an opportunity.
Listen, I'm a stranger from nowhere.
When that other man would take his headphones off.
Listen, I did. So here's the thing about, that's why, you know, full circle, a few years goes by, I break an artist, a new artist that no one ever heard of, and they, Craig actually calls me back into the studio and says, yo, come, I want to meet you. I was like, Craig, you met me before. He said, I did. I was like, yeah, about 7 years, 6 years ago, you flew me to LA to meet with the other dude. And he's like, I did. I remember
you. That's great. That's definitely great.
He said, whatever happened with that? Dude, walk in. and Craig was like, you don't remember Harmony? He's the guy that I sent to you 6 years ago. Look what happened. And I was just like,
We love that moment.
Love that.
We love that moment.
And it was one of them ones where it's just like, okay, I thank you. I'm glad that I didn't have to be a nigga that day. God got my back.
Absolutely.
What are your parents saying
now?
As you're saying?
No, not now. Even
no, just, not now. As you're saying, RJ, punk ass RJ.
Punk ass RJ.
RJ says, first of all, I need to stay a few more days. Secondly, I'm going to LA.
So this is going to get a little spiritual right at this point. So there was things that I learned about making your moves in silence.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't know a lot of my moves. They didn't, like, I hadn't seen my dad in probably 5 years.
Because at this point, you're a grown man.
Well, I'm definitely a grown man. But me and my dad really had problems. Like,
okay,
when I was younger, he was like physical. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I had a lot of anger issues towards him. And so he just wanted me to be the best. Now I understand.
Like, yeah.
The nigga, you know, when you realize, damn, Pop, you was under some different stress. But as a young man, I was just getting my ass whooped.
You don't get it.
And it was just, it was too much. I mean, I was going home to school with black eyes. And what happened to your eye? Oh, I fell over playing soccer or whatever. And I grew up with a resentment. So to prove my point, that became my driving force. I was like, I'm going to show you, Pop, who the fuck I really am.
Hmm.
And so that thing you used to see in my eye,
yeah,
where it was like just monstrous, it was him.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time he told me no, I would it just became like a battering ram in my hand. Like, mm-hmm. I was just like, so I disappeared. I didn't tell him. And what I realized was I had to tell him, I had to keep it a secret, because if I told him what I was trying to do, they would emotionally get in my head.
Gotcha.
And kind of pull me away from the opportunity that was in front of me. Yes, I didn't know what was going to happen. And it was like, you're going 12 hours away.
Right.
On a plane to a land that nobody knows, yet on TV, the story is cocaine, drugs, rock star life, Michael Jackson got killed. So England had, you know, in London, there was a perception of what Los Angeles was. You know, in London, at one time, you say Los Angeles, they called it Babylon.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was the perception. And I was like, so I can't tell nobody. I literally moved to LA and lived in LA for a year before I told them.
Wow.
That's wow.
I lived in LA and I made sure that I popped off. So when I called him, I was like, your son done made it.
Yeah.
So when they came over, they was like, nigga, you made it.
So what's the your son done made it moment? What is that? What milestone had you reached that you felt like this is enough to let them know that I'm good, this is my career?
There's a couple, but the one that really did was when I paid their house off. When I was like, y'all ain't gotta
what
pay.
What got that?
A lot of the Ariana Grande.
Talk about it.
That was the life-changing experience of my career. Like, I went from, he's a dope producer, he's a great producer, to super producer after I did that.
And what songs were those?
Ariana Grande, The Way, featuring Mac Miller.
Talk about that.
Great record.
Right There, Big Sean. Mm-hmm.
And how long has you been out here before you get that?
3 years.
3 years.
So I moved here officially 2010, January 2010. And 2011, I was cutting those records on that. In 2012, it blew up.
My God.
Yeah.
Is that before Chris Brown or that's after?
No. So Chris... first, I'm going to shout out my bro, Chris Brown. because when I say outside of Tank and y'all, he's probably the most authentic individual I've ever met in the music business.
Yeah.
This man didn't know me from a can of paint. He just heard a record that I had produced for Juwan Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the video. And he kept saying, yo, who the hell made who this did record?
Yeah.
And they go, this kid Harmony. And he walked up to me, didn't know me from a can of paint. He was like, you made this record, bro? I was like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, we gotta work. I'm scratching my head like, nigga, you Chris Brown. And not only did he say we gotta work, he made sure we worked.
Yeah.
And those records changed my life. Say It With Me and All My Love. Those same records that you heard.
Yeah.
And even that session.
And what year is that?
2010, bro. Yeah.
That's 10.
I just moved there. So it's like ending of 2010. So January 2010, ending of 2010. Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
So I've been in 9 months. I'm in the room with Chris Brown. And so the reason why it sounded so crazy, a couple of things. The fact that I was about to prove to my dad I made it. That anger was all over there.
So you was a lot of anger.
This boom, 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 boom. Yeah, like that was, there was angry. A lot of rage.
Yeah, yeah.
But Chris also confused me because he walked in. Firstly, you know what it is with Chris Brown's studio. He going to play 90 records.
Mm-hmm.
190.
We okay. Yeah, and it's more now. Yeah,
yes, it's way more. Yeah.
I mean, Chris was playing records from his childhood.
Yeah. But they really were from last week because that's just how much he worked. That's just how much he worked.
20 songs or not.
Yeah.
So. This is the first time I'm in the movie with Chris. He's played like 100 songs. We'd been there like 8 hours.
Have you placed anything before?
No.
Like a major you had?
I had one placement, Maroon 5. No curtain call.
That's a why was Maroon you? 5? Yeah.
That was the first one.
Okay. That was your first placement?
Yeah. And I'm going to be honest with you. So
I you want to know a fun fact?
What?
There's a guy in that group named James Valentine. Shout out to James Valentine.
What up, James?
James Valentine.
Yes, sir.
Some relation. Some relation.
No relation. No relation. But our names are very similar. It's pretty cool.
No curtain call. So I was actually one of the first producers to actually work with Maroon. Because basically Maroon 5 was like a real band.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they only had like one producer. So when I made the record, Big Bro Roddy picked up the phone and was like, Adam, I got something for you. It's crazy. It's my young producer just produced it and sent it to him. And came back, I was like, nigga, Maroon 5, the hell?
That's crazy.
And then, you know, so that was my first placement. I didn't really see any success from it, but it let me know.
Like, it was a great conversation.
Great conversation piece to walk in the room with.
I mean,
so what have you done? Oh, I got a record on Maroon 5.
Well, that's how Big John came to find me. He was like,
shout out to Big John, too.
Big John is always there.
Big John is,
Big John
you're successful.
Always there.
There's somewhere that Big John has been in your life, your career, something.
Listen,
yes.
Big John came over and was like, Maroon 5?
Yeah.
So I guess that kind of had people looking like, what's this kid about? And then, we're doing Chris Brown. We had just done Chipmunk and Chris Brown Champion.
Because I was about to ask you, from my understanding, you did the Chris Brown and Chipmunk record.
Yeah, so
because that's how I met you.
Yes. Basically, I did Juwan Harris, and I always tell people, do not be afraid to work with people who aren't known. Humble beginnings can lead to bigger doors.
Absolutely.
Like, I always tell people that. Juwan Harris was a new kid, but he sounded like Michael Jackson.
No, he was dope.
And I had this song that had this Motown feel.
Yeah, yeah. Juwan Harris was dope.
Mark Pitts was like, I need this for this kid. So I'm like, you're Mark Pitts. I know who the hell you are.
Yeah.
Have it.
Yeah.
So we end up making the record with the kid. He sung the song down. Like, I was just looking at him like, you about to be the next Michael Jackson. You have to be. There's no way. Mm-hmm. Beknownst to me, we go mix the record. So this record actually was the start of a lot of things. We end up going to Jason Joshua to mix it. So that's how I met Jason Joshua.
Are they putting you in all the right places?
You in all the right places.
Listen, so I'm like, who is he? He's amazing. And he started mentoring me out the gate. Like,
that's
he's
what
like,
he
this is what you got. Because he's looking at me like, where you been? Like, where did you come from?
Yeah.
Like, and he said, this record going to change your life. And I'm like, big bro, you think so? He's like, I promise you it's going to change. I'm like, I don't know, big bro. This is a cool record, but I don't know it's going to change my life. This nigga was prophesying into my future. I go to the video shoot. Mark's like, least we could do is come to the video shoot. So I was like, okay, cool. Who's doing backflips in the video shoot?
Chris Brown.
And Chris is like, I need to work with you. And I'm like,
bruh. There it begins.
Yeah, right.
From that song.
From that song.
And that unknown artist.
And now my life changed.
Yeah.
And the record never did well, but my life changed.
Your life changed.
Yeah.
And Chris is in the studio. So this is the scariest part. He plays Yeah 3X, Look At Me Now, the song with Bieber, No Bullshit. the song which that you did, Underdog. Like, I'm like, and he's like, yeah, so Harms, I need you to... This, I said, this is your album?
This one right here?
this your album?
This what you want?
Okay. I'm like,
okay.
All right. Yeah. And Chris is a genius. Like, he's practicing in one room. He's playing basketball in another room. He's got a video being edited in another room.
And yeah, I'm all like, of it.
There's all like the baddest chicks in the room.
Yeah, they're there.
Every executive's walking in and out. Every producer from Dr. Luke. Like, I'm just like, this is my first year. I'm like, this is... It's too much.
That's wild. That's actually insane to walk into. Until you explain it to like the way you just have, I've never looked at it that way.
Right.
Because we're so used to being. Yeah. We're so used to being in there. We 100 years in with Chris, so it's like we're just used to. That's just Chris. But you explaining it as a new producer coming from a whole nother country.
Yeah. Yeah.
And walking into that,
bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's and so you know, and this Seventh Street is there. Mm-hmm. K-Max there. I'm like, this is overwhelming.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
H Money.
Yes, sir.
Top 5
song.
R&B song.
I'm gonna say Things Your Man Won't Do.
Jesus Christ.
By Joe. Let me tell you why.
Amazing.
Let me tell you why. Firstly, I mean, that song has lasted how many years? And probably when we've left, we'll stay be here.
Yeah. Yeah, that record is an all-time.
That pre-chorus?
I talked to Joe about that. I say, you're so disrespectful,
like,
for singing
I don't,
that
I don't,
B section.
Yeah.
I don't think I will ever hear another B section that great.
I wouldn't argue with you.
Because it almost was bigger than the hook.
Ooh. That is like a very great upset.
Like, it was almost bigger than the
not
hook.
Not almost. I think it was.
I think it was.
And when
it's,
you
it's
see
more
it
in, known than the hook.
When you see it in concert, which we've had, we do so many shows with him, I understand exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
And
there's a
I remember
swell
the first time
happens,
I just remember going, are we allowed to even do that?
He did it.
Like, I was like, huh? And then he does it so effortlessly.
Number one.
Whew. Is It Magic by Stevie?
Somebody else just
that's been mentioned.
Isaac
twice. Yeah, yeah,
just put us on. Well, he just put me on that song.
Listen,
I didn't know about that song.
That song is
no, I didn't know it.
Like I cried to that song because that song was just like
when
I don't know. He's an alien.
When he just played it for me, I was like, what is that?
And he produced that by himself. Blind.
Let's stop saying
sure
blind. He can see.
Know.
Stevie can see. Let's stop this.
Get out of there, man, because Tank will get beat up.
Let's stop this.
Get beat up.
Is It Magic, Stevie? Is It Magic, Stevie?
Oh my God.
Come and talk to me, boy. Jodeci.
Boy, you talking that talk today? Are you listening?
I'm listening.
It's between Come and Talk to Me and Forever My Lady. Them two kind of like are the same. They came at me at the same time. I was kind of mad.
Well, Come and Talk to Me got the remix.
Come and Talk to Me just was like,
yeah.
Are we allowed to do that? I kept asking, like, is this allowed? And it was just like the remix as well with no music. Boom.
That's a cheat code.
Boom. Boom. Come and Talk to Me. And it was just like these dudes from the street. Dressed like
they
niggas,
were singing
but sound
harmony.
Like the
they
church.
They were screaming harmonies at you.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, come and talk to me. What? Can I talk to you?
And they look like the homies.
Come and talk to me. Why are you yelling at me like that?
I'm going to go to the king. Human Nature. I'm sorry, dog. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that, I mean, there was five hooks in that one song.
It had a musical hook.
It was five hooks in that one song.
It's a musical hook.
Yeah.
And ends with on some musical cinematic like
that everybody tries to do.
You're not doing
You know as soon as it happens, you know what the hell is going on.
Yeah. It's unmatched.
Why?
Unmatched.
Why?
I just
tell him it's just human nature.
It's just human nature.
Yeah. Why?
Why you do me that way?
Why you do me that way? Does he do me that way? Like, hey, I try to preach this all the time. We are not perfect, ladies.
All right, here you go. Here you go.
We're not.
He's starting. We're not.
Sounds like an excuse.
No. Michael said it best.
He did.
It is just human nature. We are flawed by nature. Nature isn't perfect.
We're never, forever.
Maxwell.
Oh, baby. That's a good
reason. Yeah. Maxwell.
You hot.
Yeah.
You hot right now.
Yeah. That song.
You hot right now.
That song. We ain't gonna be here. That song gonna be here.
That song is gonna be here forever.
Maxwell's still torn off that motherfucker.
Maxwell's just a different kind of monster.
Definitely.
It's a different kind of monster.
Definitely.
All right.
Go.
H Money. Go in the building.
What's up?
Shout out to Go in the building. H Money.
Thank you for having her, by the way.
Come on now.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Anytime. We're gonna build an R&B artist.
Okay.
We're gonna call this the R&B Voltron.
Go ahead.
Okay. Where are you gonna get the vocals? Where are you gonna get the performance style? Where are you going to get the styling? And where are you going to get the passion?
Female or male?
Oh, hold on. That's up to you.
Okay. Yeah, you can
mix and match it however you want to.
Okay.
All right? So let's start with the vocals. Who you want to get the vocals from?
Brandy.
Well, don't waste no time then.
I mean,
you don't need no explanation.
What is understood,
the vocal Bible
does not have to be
for me, my generation, and
our generation,
and our generation. I mean, shit. So yeah, definitely Brandy on the vocal, especially rest in peace, LaShawn on that.
They were
vocal
magic.
Production.
They were magic. Who you getting the performance style from?
Queen B.
I mean,
Beyonce.
Who can entertain
a
stadium?
Queen B. I mean, 15 years, 20 years straight.
Does it get any crazier than that?
No.
No drop off.
None.
No drop off.
Know what I mean? And I put Queen B because she sings that shit live for real, though.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
so, monstrous.
So, you know what I mean? So, I just think. It's one thing to sing in a studio, but then you perform it live and do it exactly like a studio.
Get on my nerves. All right. Who are you getting the styling from?
Ooh,
what you want your artist to look like?
That's a wide one. Styling. In R&B.
No. Anywhere you want.
I'm going to say R&B.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to say Janet. Janet translates. Janet translates in all genres at all times. It doesn't matter what time of the year we are, what decade, she's showing up.
I don't think it matters what time of the year it is.
No, 55 years old.
We're gonna roll with whatever she got on.
Absolutely.
55 years old.
Janet will lay her up on you.
55 years old.
In the middle of the summer.
Still be fly.
And fine
and
with
still
it.
Still be fly.
Yeah.
Fine with it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, you're doing really good today. I just want to let you know that as your brother, you're really shining.
I'm going to cross my legs, man.
Yeah, keep crossing your legs again. It's fine. Who are you getting the passion from? The heart of your artist.
The heart?
Hmm.
That's different. I would say a name, and she just takes me there every time. Fantasia.
Mmm. with her shoes off.
With her shoes off. Yeah, across the stage.
That's a woman that I've seen.
She's going to sweat.
Like she,
every
she,
night.
Like she does not. I mean, that woman's had me in tears.
Yeah.
I, outside of working with her, just seeing her just sing my songs back. Lose to Win Again, and she sing. I'd be like, that's not how we did it in the studio.
She put in a whole nother level of work.
Like I'm talking worship in the studio. We're in the Microsoft Center, and people was like, "Thank you, Jesus, Hallelujah." I'm like, "Yeah, you're different. Different passion. Different passion. That's what I say. Fat.
That's a cold Voltron. You wave
that Voltron might that might be that's an exterminator right there. That's
a sip of my drink.
That's a Terminator right there.
You about to break the other one open?
I'm just showing the people.
Just showing the
Come on. Come on with the promo. Come on with the promo.
I appreciate it.
Come on with the promo, man.
Brevin, my people love you.
Yeah. I'm rocking with it. And I mean, since we've had a beverage, it's probably a good time to get to this segment.
What's the segment?
You know, since you watched the show, I'm sure you know we it's becoming a thing. It's kind of known around these streets a little bit. It's called I Ain't Saying No Names.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm God be good no saying no names.
You already told some stories where you didn't say no names earlier, but you know, I need, you know,
you need some
story, dope. Funny or fucked up, or funny and fucked up.
I got a lot of those.
We all do. Even though Tank tried to tell one that he told on somebody else's show, and I had to damn near cuss my old co-host out. It's crazy. This is crazy. I'm going to look at you. I know he's looking at me, but I'm going to look at you while he's looking at me because I don't understand why he would do that. I don't understand it. It don't make sense to me. But today we're here with H Money, people. I'm still not looking at Tank. We're here with H Money today. And we would need Harmony, H Money.
Yes, sir.
We need your I Ain't Saying No Names.
Ooh, I got some personal, like.
Man, whatever you want. Just the only rule is you can't say their name.
Yeah, that's fine. That's easy for me. I don't like saying people's name anyway. damn. Which one do I? Where do I go?
You told me a lot.
Gogo says she know a lot.
I ain't saying no names.
Here we go.
There was a song I made for an artist. I took an artist who was also a songwriter to this session. And this artist was a good friend of mine. And the artist was with him, a good friend of mine. And one of them was successful already. And the other one was trying to make it. And I got caught in the middle of a situation. So we go to studio. I said, yo, come to studio. And it was like, I don't want to come to studio to do that session because, you know, I'm trying to be an artist right now. And so I'm scared I'm going to write a record that I'm going to want to keep. And I was like, man, just come. Trust me. You never know, like, connections. Like me, I like bringing people in. It takes a village. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you come to the studio or whatever. Like, so she comes. And we write a monster. Well, a couple months go by, like 6-7 months go by. In the session, she looks at me, she's like, I knew it. And I was like, hey.
You can't keep it.
So a year plus goes by. And this other artist, established artist, you know, had gone ghost. So everybody be like, what's going on? I was like, I don't know. Yeah, you know, they doing their thing. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? They got their own thing.
Yeah.
So the writer artist called me and was like, yo, what's going on with that record? I said, I don't know. I ain't spoken to the homie for a minute. So I don't know. She was like, man, I'm gonna try to use
it. Out.
And I was like, well, you should say something. I don't know. You know, they might want it. It's like, nah, I wanna use it. And I was like, it's on you. So I said, let me at least find out. So that's why managers can be dangerous. So management had conversations, and the conversation was, and I think it was a front. Yeah, we don't know if we want the record, da 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 da, because they didn't want to pay.
Yeah.
Because it was like, yo, if you want the record, let us know, so we could pitch it somewhere else. So I was like, hey, I got an email saying that you're good money, so go do your thing. So artist goes to do the thing, got a deal off one record that I did, and that was supposed to be the next single. So turns out the established one came back, was wrapping up their project, and was like, no, I want this to be my single. And so now I'm in a fucked up situation because now I got both people trying to use the record as a single, and it's up to me.
Shit.
Yeah. Pretty fucked up, right?
Yeah. Pretty fucked up.
And unfortunately, you know, you know how it goes. I know the rules. So the one thing I go is the playbook. How's the song written?
Who's the song written for?
Who is the song written for? Does that person have publishing? Well, then that person has more say. Regardless of whether they denied the record or not, I got to go with the person who we did the record for.
Yeah.
Because they own the recording at that point. That's how it goes. So I had to go to the playbook.
Actually paid for the session. For the
nigga, video. When I say they cussed me the fuck out, I mean,
oh yeah,
it ripped, sure. It destroyed a relationship that was dear to me because it was someone else that was connected, and it really kind of like damaged the relationship for a period of time. And but I had to do the right thing, and you know, I let it go. Fast forward later, they end up doing a record together anyway. So,
did your record ever come out on either one?
Oh, it came out. Oh, okay. It came out, and it did good. It did good, and they both ended up doing very well. But I got cussed the fuck out.
Yeah.
For something that had none to do with me.
That is a great.
I'm asking names.
That's a great.
I want to know names.
We want to know later. I'm gonna take a sip. I'm gonna take a sip of one your more. Very fancy
one
tequila.
More. One more. One more.
Thank you for having my beautiful sister go.
$1 million endorsement deal. I'm just throwing out wild numbers.
That's thank how you so much do. For it.
Anytime times. Anybody say they want to do five something, times. You just throw out a wild number five okay. times. Okay, okay. A million. You are a brother
forever.
Yeah.
You are a loved one. You are special to us.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you.
Most of all, you are extremely special to this universe.
Yes, sir.
And everything that you have to offer from. From your struggles to your successes.
Yes, sir.
And we here at the Army Money.
Yes, sir.
We love you. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the Army Money Podcast, the authority on all things R&B. And this has been our brother, Harmony H Money Sanders.
And go, go!
Go, go!
What up?
Go, go!
Beautiful.
R&B Money.
R&B Money is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Don't forget to subscribe to and rate our show. And you can connect with us on social media at Jay Valentine and at The Real Tank. For the extended episode, subscribe to youtube.com/R&B Money.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.